What shakes you? What shakes you? We know an earthquake could shake you. We know tornadoes can shake us. We know somebody moving a platform underneath our feet can do that. But what shakes you? What causes you discouragement? What causes you disillusionment? Maybe it's a situation. Maybe it's a thing. Maybe it's even persons, people. Maybe it's the nightly news, the stories on the news of where our world is going, what has happened. You all know the stories. You see the stories. It can get so discouraging that you actually shut off the news and never watch it. What shakes you? Is it the evil of men? The working of powers and principalities? Maybe it's the goodness of man, the generosity, the compassion, the love that somebody could have for you, a complete stranger. What shakes you? Jesus was not shaken by anything. Isn't that interesting? He was not shaken by anything. Well, of course, he was God. He is God. He's omniscient, omnipresent, and all-powerful. But he made a simple statement in the Scriptures. And the statement was, he would not give himself over to man because he knew their hearts were evil. Wow, this is going to be an encouraging message. Jesus was not shaken by that. Jesus was not shaken by how deep and how dark and how corrupted that his creation became. He was not shaken to not do what he did and die on the cross. And come to the earth and live amongst men in the nitty-gritty of everyday life. He lived with man. And then he also experienced the death of man. He actually experienced the death of man even before he was born on this earth. But Jesus experienced death just like you and I. Every day he experienced death just like you and I. Disappointment, discouragement. But yet, he was perfect. He did not sin. So whatever situations he faced, he overcame. Interesting. When Jesus was a boy, he did everything that a boy would do. Do you think about that? Pull on little girl's hair and all that. And I don't know if he did that. But he had fun, just like a boy would. He grew up with his mom and dad and, you know, went around, probably asked his dad, "What you doing?" All that fun stuff. But it wasn't until he was 30 that something significant happened. What happened? He was what? Baptized. He was baptized. He went down to the Jordan. He saw John, and John was baptizing people for what? Repentance and the forgiveness of their sins. And Jesus came along, and he saw John, and he said, "John, I need to be baptized. And John said, what? No way. Not me. I'm sinful. You're the Messiah. And he says, no, we need to do this because this is to fulfill all righteousness. And so, Jesus is baptized. We have this picture, we have this in our mind's eye, that Jesus is being baptized, and then what happens? You hear a voice that says, I am pleased with my son. And then what happens? A dove. Holy Spirit comes down upon Jesus. And then we read in Scripture, what happens? Jesus begins his ministry in the world. Jesus obeys his Father. He says, okay, Dad, I'm going to go to the world, and I'm going to live amongst men. I'm going to experience everything that they experienced. And you're going to ask me to humble myself before a man to be baptized. And I'm going to do it. Picture this. You are God of all creation. And you humble yourself before your creation to be baptized. Got that? Humbles himself, is baptized by John, who is not perfect. He's a sinner. His best rags on that day are nothing but filth. Jesus is baptized by a sinner. But he is a man that knew no sin. And the Holy Spirit comes upon him and receives the favor of his Father. Well done. Good and faithful servant. Jesus begins his ministry. Does that shake you? Does that story shake you? That Jesus would do that? I look at that and I go, wow. If I was God of the universe, I don't know if I'd bow down to my own creation, especially one that's dirty and sinful. What shakes us? Good or bad? And if you're like me, a man, a human being who's sinful, the thing that catches my attention is the bad stuff. Right? But not just the bad stuff in the world, but the bad stuff in me. Like how angry I can get. Right? Does that ever shake you? I know that shakes me. Especially after the episode happens, right? And I calm down and I walk away and then I go, wow. That was over the top. That was way beyond where it should have been. That wasn't loving. I can get very disappointed and discouraged about myself. And shaken to my core that I could be somebody that could do, that could lose, and could be so ugly. Right? But we are thankful because we have what? We have forgiveness. We have Jesus. He's the gospel. He's the truth. He's the way. He's the life. He's the gospel. He is the word. And we can come to him and confess our ugliness and be redeemed and polished like a new stone. Question is this. If that shakes me, what shakes God? We said nothing. He knows. But I'm thinking one of the things that possibly disappoints God, discourages God. Not discouraged. Because God's got it all in control, right? It's kind of hard to put God in a box, isn't it? You want to go, well, I feel this, so you must feel this. And Jesus, and the Word says that Jesus felt everything that we did. He experienced everything that we did as a human being. So we can say he felt disappointment. He felt discouragement. He felt sadness. He felt loneliness. Well, Jesus even cried, didn't he? Jesus wept. What causes Jesus to cry today? I would dare say this, is that his children lack boldness. We, his children, can lack boldness to share the word of God with his creation. Because what is it that God desires to see happen today that happens tomorrow and that he desired to see happen yesterday? That people would come to know and be saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. That never changes. Our God is unchanging. We can count on him. If that's the way he was yesterday, that's the way he is tomorrow, and that's the way he is today. He desires for no one to perish. Amen? Amen. So why do we lack boldness? He said, I've given you all authority on heaven and earth to do my will. Amen? Amen. So, why do we lack boldness? Do you lack boldness? We all lack boldness at some point, sometime, some other. You know, it's like the door opens. It's like, do I walk through? As we heard from Pastor Cimbello, whenever a door is open, you can be sure of what? There's a fight on the other side. Right? I don't want to fight. What was that phrase? I'm a lover, not a fighter. Well, dare I say that Jesus has given you all authority on heaven and earth to be a lover and a fighter. A lover of men and women that have been taken captive as POWs, prisoners of war in this world, and we are to fight against the enemy by doing what? Spreading the gospel. Spreading the gospel. Does it shake you that the thing that the enemy, the devil, fears the most is a Christian who's bold? He's afraid of Christians that are bold, that know their authority, that know their position in Christ, and they act upon it. Right? What does Hebrews 11:6 say? Christians shall live by what? Not by sight, but by what? By faith. Faith alone. Do you have a bold faith? Do we have a bold faith? A faith that steps through the door and goes, okay, I'm here. And the demons scatter. Right? Erwin McManus tells a story of his little boy that Erwin McManus, pastor, Mosaic Church down in California, tells a story of his little boy that his boy came home from a sleepover, scared out of his wits. He goes, oh, it's a little ghost story, right? I could fix this. So he starts talking to his boy, right? And his boy opens up. It's like, Dad, they told demon stories. Not ghost stories, demon stories. I don't know how old his boy is, he was young. But Erwin encourages his boy and talks to him about his value in Christ and who he is and about his authority in Christ. And says, I'm going to pray for you, son, that wherever you walk, wherever you go, demons will scatter in fear. Why are we talking about demons? I don't know. But we're talking about is because that is powers and principalities that we face. This earth is not the physical battlefield. We fight on this earth and it's physical, but he says we fight with weapons that are designed to fight in what? The spiritual dimensions. Powers and principalities. I've given you weapons to take down those fortresses. I've given you what? The Holy Spirit. I've given you the Holy Spirit. God desires to see what happened today, that people come to know and be saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. That involves fighting. That involves love. That involves praying for an open door and walking through it. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, sharing the gospel. But there's also something else that God desires to see happen today, and that's what? Is that people call out to Him. People call out to Him. Way back in Genesis chapter 4, verse 26, this is after the fall, after Adam and Eve have been removed from the garden. Okay, in the garden they knew what? They knew God intimately. God would walk through the garden. They would walk with Him. They had divine intimacy, fellowship with Him. But this verse says this: to Seth also was a son. A son was born, and he called his name Enosh. At that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. Okay? What's significant about that? That people, before Abraham was on the scene, before Moses was on the scene, before Isaac was on the scene, before the Israelite nation existed, known as Hebrews or Jews, people were known and called what? People who called on the name of the Lord. That was the identity. People who called upon the name of the Lord. Up to that time, people knew God as a creator, but now they called Him the name of the Lord. They called out to Him. People were first known by that. And Lord means what in that phrase? It's a capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, if you notice in your Bible. Some places it says Lord with a capital L, small O, O, small R, small D, right? In that sense, it means the actual name of God, Yahweh. Yahweh. It's the proper name of the God of Israel, and He is called what? I am that I am. What Yahweh means. Did you know that more than 58 specific verses in Scripture implore and describe people to do what? Call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord. What's calling upon the name of the Lord? It's invoking Him. It's inviting Him. It's to summon. It's to cry out, God, would you intervene? The Apostle Peter, quoting Joel 2:32, says this in Acts 2:21. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. We like that last part. We'll be saved. But what's the first part? Those who call upon the name of the Lord. God wants us to call upon Him. He wants everybody in this world that has ever existed, that will ever exist, that exists today, to call upon His name. And that's our job. To plant the seeds and share the love of God, the good news, so that what? People will call upon the name of the Lord. Amen? Romans 10, 12 to 17 says this, the Apostle Paul, also citing Joel 2:32, "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who," what? "Call on him. For everyone who," what? "Calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." He goes on. He says, okay, this is a great thing. Okay, I've told you the truth. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But then he says, but how are they to call on him in whom they've not believed? Then he says, and how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And then he goes on and says, and how are they to hear without someone, what? Preaching. Sharing the word. Sharing the gospel, the good news. How are they to preach unless, what? They are sent. Did you know that you are sent? I got bad news and good news for you today. Good news is you're sent. The bad news is you're sent. Right? Well, I don't want to walk through that door. Because I'm a lover, not a fighter. But we need to be both. We need to fight for the souls of those that God loves. Because if we don't fight for the souls of those that God loves, then we don't love God and we don't love them. How loving is it when we have the best story in the world and don't share it? Is that loving? It's not. God calls us to that, to love this world, to love His creation, to love Him. And that means we have to tell the story of Jesus. Now that's casting seed. Planting, casting seed. We can't. Are we scared of throwing seeds? How many are afraid of throwing stones? Anybody? No. No. Jesus just says, I want you to share who I am. I want you to share the gospel, the good news. And he says, can you do that? He says, I've given you the ministry of what? Reconciliation. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 20, to the Corinthian church, who is what? Well, it's got a bad reputation. It's in a very hostile and pagan city, a place of commerce, a place of religion and other religions, right? It's like, dare we say, Toronto. Or Vancouver, or Calgary, or Edmonton. Yeah. Pick whoever. But this church, we say is bad, but I say, no, let's stop, let's look at it. Yeah, the church has problems. And Paul has to come and do some discipline. But what else is happening? This church is involved in their community. They're actually going into the shrines and they're pulling people out of these other religions. They're sharing the gospel and then people are coming. Who's this Jesus? Tell me. Who's this God? And they're coming into the church. And they're learning about Jesus, but they still have to get rid of what? The junk. The junk. So when you look at the Corinthian church, yeah, go, okay, there's some real bad things happening in there, but go, hey, church is supposed to be messy. Because we are supposed to be a place that brings life, gives life, pulls people out of the world that is not life. We are supposed to be what? The healing center. Amen? So, church, are we that healing center? Paul says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach what? Who preach what? Oh, you guys can do better than that. Good news. Who preached the good news? Do we preach the good news? Do we lead people and encourage them to call upon the name of the Lord? How does this happen? Well, with boldness. If it happens with boldness and I'm not bold, how can that happen? Right? Some of you there? Amen? Okay. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Acts chapter 2, or Acts chapter 4. Okay, turn there in your Bible. Verses 29 through 30. We have a situation here. Okay? Remember, Acts is the Acts of the Apostles. So they've been with Jesus. Jesus has ascended, and now it's them. They've been assigned to do the work of who? Of God, of Jesus. They've been assigned to go into all the world to what? Preach the gospel, to share the gospel, to teach, to baptize, to make disciples. Okay, Matthew 28, 19 through 20. That's what they've been assigned. So we have, here is the beginning of the church. In its action, in Acts. And so they go through this, and so we know that in Acts chapter 2, what happens? Something of significance. Jesus says what? He says to the disciples before he left, he said what? He said, I want you to go to a certain place, go up to a certain room, and I want you to do what? I want you to wait. Wait for what? The Holy Spirit. It's not Pizza 73. It's the Holy Spirit he wants to wait for, right? And he says, don't move until it comes. Okay? Did they know when the Holy Spirit was going to come? Did God give them a time frame? Did he say, it'll be there at 2 o'clock tomorrow? No. Curious, why didn't Jesus give them an exact time frame? You want to know what's in their hearts. Am I going to obey? Am I going to believe what Jesus told me? It's their first act of obedience, really. We're going to wait. And we're going to wait as long as it takes. And then what happens? Finally, when they're unexpectedly, the Spirit shows up. Flames upon each forehead. A wind. And what? They're filled with the Spirit. Okay? The Spirit was not in men up to that point. Right? Because Jesus said what? I'm going to go away and I'm going to do what? I'm going to send another counselor. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And He's going to come and He's going to live with you. He's going to guide you. He's going to walk with you. He's going to give you abundant life. If you listen to Him. If you follow Him. Do I want abundant life? Is that my desire? Okay? Abundant life does not stop at salvation with Jesus. Abundant life continues on. And Paul says, work out your salvation. What's he mean? Pursue righteousness, holiness in God. Just like Jesus, before he started his ministry and he was baptized and he obeyed the Father, was baptized by the Holy Spirit, the disciples are baptized by the Holy Spirit. And then they begin their ministry. Right? And then what happens? Peter goes out and he starts talking, right? By the Holy Spirit. He's preaching. And something miraculous happens, right? Everybody that was gathered there in Corinth at that time, in that place, no matter who they were, if they were Greek or Corinthian or Roman or whatever nationality, something miraculous happens, right? What happens? they all hear his message in their own language. Okay? First miracle. Second miracle, I guess. The Holy Spirit is the first one. After Jesus. And he preaches a fabulous message of repentance. Okay? What happens? 3,000 people believe. Repent and are baptized that day. Amazing. Right? Chapter 3 in Acts, we have the story of who? The lame beggar. Right? Peter and John are walking by one day at the beautiful gate in Jerusalem, around the temple. And this beggar has to be lifted and carried everywhere, and he's begging for money, for alms. And they come by him, and he begs from them, and they do what? They say, "We have neither silver nor gold, but we'll give you something better. Get up and walk." What does he do? Does he, like, test it out? I don't know. That's not what it says in the Word. He leapt up. He leapt up, started walking around praising God. Right? Is that a picture of faith? That's a picture of faith. Right? What happens? The crowd goes nuts. They know who he is, and they're like, "You're walking? Oh my word, look, he's walking." And they start chatting and praising God for this healing and everything, and then what happens? The authorities hear about it. Right? These are the bad guys that come into the story. The authorities. And the authorities are like, "What's going on? What's happening?" And so they arrest Peter and John, throw them into the cell. Because it's night, they keep them there. We'll let you guys think about this. But what happens? The story starts getting around that this happened. This healing happened. And guess what happens? 5,000 people come to Christ. 5,000. Right? They're in prison and this is happening. The next day they're brought before the high priest, before the clerics, before the rulers, the elders, before the authorities. "What power did you use to heal this man? Who, which God are you praying to? In whose name did you heal this man? What happened to this guy?" Do you know the word power, what the translation is? Dunamis in Greek. Don't be impressed, you can look it up. Dunamis is the Greek word for power. Do you know what word we get in the English language from dunamis? Dynamite. Dynamite. Bruxy Cavey wrote in his book Reunion, he uses the example, he goes, "How do you hold dynamite? Can you hold on to dynamite? When you don't light it. But once you light it, you're like, I'm not holding on to that." The power of the Holy Spirit is what? God's dynamite. God's dynamite. He is your dynamite in your life. Right? He's the power for abundant living, for boldness, it says. Because after John and Peter, they talk to the high authorities. They don't wilter away. They don't go, "Okay, sir, whatever you say, we'll do." No, they stand up in boldness because the Holy Spirit comes upon Peter and says, "By the name of Jesus, we've done this and healed this man." And essentially say, "We won't stop preaching and healing in the name of Jesus. By no other way, by no other man, by no other name shall one be saved than by what? Jesus. So if you're the authorities, what do you do with these two? What would you do? If you're trying to control the situation, if you're trying to, like, put them down, quiet them down, because this is what? A threat to your authority, your power structure. Man, this sounds like Jesus. It is. It says it is Jesus. So what do you do? Well, they're in a predicament because so many people have believed what they've said and been healed. They saw the story of the healing, and many miracles and signs and wonders have happened, and they have the favor of God, it says in Acts 2, 42 through 47. The favor of God is upon them, and the favor of the people is upon them. How do we handle this? We put Jesus to death, but I don't know if we can put these guys to death. It'll just give further legitimacy to their movement. So what do they do? We're going to give you a stern talking to. Don't you ever say that again. Don't you ever preach in the name of Jesus again. Got it? And let them go. What do you think Peter and John are doing? They're celebrating, man. Look at the victory that we've got. Jesus said that we would have victory and power and authority in this earth and share the gospel. And they go and they tell their friends. They find their friends in the room and they tell them what happened. But was it like that? I think it was a real stern warning. Because we read in the next passage, part of that, Acts 29, says this. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders and perform through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Okay? There's maybe some worry there, but they had faith. And they go to the Lord Jesus and they say, grant us boldness to continue preaching. Grant us boldness to continue telling the story of Jesus and what? Lord, back it up by your signs and wonders. By your power, stretch out your hand and show them that your word is true, what we share. Amen? Amen. Then what happens? This is a petition. This is a request. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, they prayed. The place in which they were gathered together was what? Shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. With boldness. What shakes you? By reading the word, what should shake you is the Holy Spirit. You should have no fear, no discouragement, no disillusionment. We should not be living that way. If we're living and walking filled with the Holy Spirit, there should be boldness. And others should shake before the power of God. Because he's what? Dynamite. He's dynamite. This is incredible. This is the church. This is the beginning of the church. And they walk out and they go out in boldness. People, are we walking in boldness today? Are we walking with dynamite? Are we living that way? Are you walking with dynamite? I know that the enemy wants to attack in one way. And he wants you to be fearful of the Holy Spirit. He wants you to be fearful to be bold. He wants us to be fearful to share the story of Christ because there might be something bad said about us. There might be some oppression. There might be some bad news stories. You know, it's just bad, 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 bad. But that's what happens when you walk through an open door. Amen? There's a fight. But Jesus says, don't worry about the fight, because I've given you the power of the Holy Spirit, dynamite, that will devastate everything else. Right? That's what dynamite does. You light it, and it blows. Explodes and destroys, right? But the gospel is a different kind of dynamite. The Holy Spirit is a different kind of dynamite that heals. That uses signs and wonders to do what? To confirm the word of the Lord. Are we walking in boldness? Or are we walking in fear? Which one is it? I know which side I want to be on. How many of you want to be on that side? Nobody wants to be on that side. You're going to have an amen? Then you need to have the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, and you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because at salvation, Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit. But as we read in Ephesians 5:18, we also need to be filled with the Holy Spirit a second time. A third time, a fourth time, a sixth time, a 20th time. Why? Because we leak. Because we leak. How many of you feel as close to Jesus today as at your salvation? Proof enough? Amen? That's why we need the Holy Spirit. He is the dynamite. He is the power. He is the abundant life for us to live in this world. The good news is what? What's the good news? Jesus. One word. The good news is Jesus. It's the gospel. The good news of Jesus is meant to be spread far and wide. It is the announcement of what? A world-changing event. A world-changing event. We kind of had a world-changing event this past week, didn't we? Billy Graham passed away. I thought about this years ago, knowing that Billy was getting old, and when Billy would pass away, is there going to be a change in our world? Because he had such an influence. Think of the influence that Billy Graham had, and think of the influence that Jesus has, can have, did have. There's no comparison. I wonder, because Billy was such a man of God, and he would be the first one to tell you what? I'm a sinner just like everybody else. I wonder what effect that will have on our world, on Christendom. Because look, he is the first pastor to ever what? Lay in state. In the United States government. First one. That's amazing. What a testimony. The good news, he shared the good news from as long as I can remember him speaking. He shared the good news in love, in courage, with forgiveness, with grace, with mercy. And he always pronounced it as what? A world-changing event. It's a life-changing event for us. For all people. The good news is for all people. It's an offer of peace and reconciliation from God to everyone through Jesus Christ. So why would we not have the boldness to share it? Because we're afraid. Ask the Holy Spirit into your life to fill you so you can do His work. God's work can only be done by what? God's power. Anything else is my strength. How many of us are doing God's work in our strength? I call out to the Lord for boldness and to stretch His hand out to prove His words true. Would that be your prayer this morning? That's my prayer. Let's pray. Father, we need boldness. We can pray for you to add people to this church. But I think we need to pray for boldness to share your gospel. Not just looking for church transfers, Lord, but we're looking for new life. We're looking for the lost ones. Holy Spirit, I pray that you fall fresh upon us. Lord, that we would humble ourselves before you. That we would admit and confess that we're doing it on our own, that we're miserable. We're not living life abundantly. We're missing dynamite. Father, we pray that this morning, Lord, I pray that you would fall fresh and fill us. Fill each one. For as much as we want to be filled is what we will receive. I ask this, Lord Jesus, in your name.